Hey, you got the morning show with Aaron. That's Overthinking with Isla. And John says he's probably ready to go. So here he is. Welcome to the studio, John.
Good morning. Yeah, bright sunny morning. It looks a bit hazy up on Carrioy today.
Yeah, it is surprisingly hazy out there. But, I mean, people in other parts of the world would think this was a very clear sky. So we should be pretty thankful, really.
True. Yeah. You've been talking to Lisa about how misty it is in England and Wales.
We didn't discuss the mist, actually. We discussed the fact that the first photo she put on her Facebook after she went over there was a picture of some sheep sent back to New Zealand. But she was talking about the things she noticed, how people don't park in the middle of the town, so they're happy to park outside town. And they have volunteers who staff the car parks to take a little fee. And that's considered part of your, you know, like people like to volunteer in their community. That's one of the things they do.
And yet when we go to the big supermarkets, we accept that we've got to go quite a way to walk from wherever we park the car to wherever we're going shopping. So.
Well, some people don't. Some people just keep driving around till they find that park.
Again, that's why the car parks are so busy.
Yeah, probably, eh? Probably is that. But you're right, generally we do accept that. She also noticed there had been in Wales that bilingual signs everywhere. And she said, and
there was a big campaign in the 1960s, 70s.
So you would remember that.
Yeah, any sign that was only in English got painted with black paint.
Oh, really? Oh, well, that's a little more aggressive than's been happening here. There's a relatively quiet movement over here.
I'll just wait until we've had a National ACT government for a few years.
Yeah, I mean, if ACT is good for their word, and I'm sure they'd love to be, that will kick off,
Because Welsh nationalism wasn't at all obvious for a long time. It's one of those things that got kicked into action when things like the steelworks collapsed and suddenly people were left thinking, what's the purpose of life? What are we doing? Why aren't we having local control?
Mm. Yeah. Well, and Lisa wanted to point out that, of course, it was not causing any crashes as has been proposed here in New Zealand. I don't know which idiot politician tried to propose that, but I guess they think it'll get them some votes, so they'll say it.
You can make a fairly educated guess.
Yeah. But back to Raglan. So we'll deal with Raglan right now because you've got a little bit of info for Raglan.
Yeah, not much is happening in the local politics world at the moment, which is why we're waffling on about Wales and everything else and the weather. The regional council had a transport meeting yesterday, and they were looking at the proposed local bus for Raglan. What they're saying is that they're still working on it, so they're still doing the costings for it.
So that's your breaking news, John. They're working on it still.
I think last time you talked to Dennis, he was a bit more optimistic that they might have got somewhere. It was rather disappointing to see that costing and feasibility of this option is still to be developed. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think he was kind of like, he was choosing to be optimistic, but aware that that might be wrong, and you're kind of saying that they haven't done that much.
Well, there's two aspects to it, because apparently, I hadn't heard before, but they're proposing that maybe the school bus from Raglan that goes in at the same time as the other buses, because there are three buses go into Hamilton at about the same time.
Yeah.
The double-decker, a single-decker, and a single-decker that starts at Potapota.
Yeah.
And they're talking about the single-decker going round via Te Kōwhai, because it goes round to the north of Hamilton to link up the schools there anyway. And that's the one where they're saying that it's still to be developed. They are saying that the service costings are being developed for the other option, which you've talked about with Dennis, the option of having the current bus running out to Manu Bay or Whale Bay more often, and also having an on-demand bus service.
Yeah, so we should say this is about an internal Raglan bus service, but is that actually having implications for one of the buses ending up going round past Te Kōwhai now? I don't quite make the connection in my head, but I'm sure the regional council's got their reasons.
Well, they see Te Kōwhai eventually as linking up with Hamilton, so it's going to be part of Hamilton. In their long-term plan.
Hamilton's going to come out and envelop it, is it?
I think they're developing both ways. I don't know if you've been through Te Kōwhai recently, but there's a lot of building going on there.
I actually haven't been. Yeah, I haven't. Yeah, I used to drive through, but since they did all that motorway
turn left
work,
at Whatawhatta.
Yeah. I know. I used to drive through all the time, but yeah, since they changed that the whole motorway set up there and the new motorway bridge, you don't go through there very much, which I'm sure the people at Te Kōwhi are very happy about.
So I'm hoping that the community board might spot that and say, "Hey, how about doing it rather quicker and not just getting round to developing it?" Because it seems to me that it's odd that they're developing costings and rather than actually just putting out a tender and saying who's going to tender for this.
And did you use the word feasibility as well? Did you say they're doing a feasibility study?
I think that's already been done. I think that was what the district council did before they came up with the proposal.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought was already designed. Plus, it is acknowledged to be a trial or an experiment.
Problems these days, and probably seems to the National Party as well, that these things go through lots of stages of paying consultants to look at costings and such like, and eventually you get round to actually designing it and building it. But they're talking about spending millions on the Auckland Light Rail, even though they've not got any light rail in place, simply because they've been doing all these studies to see whether it would be viable and where it would be viable and how it would be viable.
Is that the sunk cost fallacy? We've already put so much work in, we're going to keep going? Except they haven't put much work in because it's just a feasibility study. Nothing compared to the cost of actually doing it.
Yeah, well, maybe it's just an excuse for not doing it, which has been my suspicion up till now. But I do see that they are saying that they are developing service costings, and I'm not too clear how much further it goes beyond that, whether the next stage is tendering.
Service costings for an internal service here in Raglan.
And for extending the current bus to run either more often or a bit further, yeah.
Yeah, so the idea was that the internal bus wouldn't go out to Manu Bay, but the main bus, the 23 bus, would go out there more often, and therefore the internal bus loop could be a lot shorter.
Yeah, because they're talking about that going no further than up in Wainui Road.
Yeah, although it is going to be an on-demand situation, so is it more like
so
a taxi?
So presumably if you demand it goes a bit further, then maybe the driver will take you further.
Does on-demand mean it comes to your house? Or do you still have to go to a bus stop?
No, I think what's in mind is that you're going to be able to go onto the app and put in where your address is and where you want to go to, and the bus will make a circuit within, well, if it's anything like Timaru where they've got it operating, it's within 15 minutes of you asking for it.
Oh, okay. Right. And how does it work down there? Have you read up on that?
Well, they've got three buses there. So if one's not able to come, there's presumably another two that might make it to you.
But what's the population of Timaru? It must be four or five times bigger than us.
Yeah, it's probably about 40,000, I think.
Is it really?
Something like that.
That's bigger than I imagined.
Yeah. I could be wrong, but
I lived there when I was four.
Okay. Like all these places, it's grown.
Yeah, a little bit. Me too, since then. There's a lot of unanswered questions, and that's the point. They're going to trial it and see, but it's just a matter of the bureaucracy getting into gear in time, because everyone knows we want it ready for summer, but it's a beautiful day out there right now. It's warm. We've got the doors and windows open. We're sitting here in short sleeve shirts. I think summer's close, John.
Yep, and they're predicting a long, dry summer, so we could have a complete contrast to what we've just seen over winter.
Or last summer, which would be a relief, I think, for a lot of people.
But some people are getting money. The Raglan District Community Vehicle Trust has got $11,860, according to the report that went to yesterday's meeting. They're the people who run the other bus service that we've got in Raglan, which allows people to go to hospital appointments in Hamilton.
Where are you reading that? You didn't put that in the email to me.
It says of the over 29 known community transport providers in the region, yep, 14 applied and were approved for a total of $190,000.
Okay, so that's, and Mike was on the radio yesterday from the community house saying $15 to get you there, that's less than the amount you'd pay for petrol if you drove your own car.
Because as usual, I did manage to send you two emails, so I don't know if you're looking at the first one or the second one. But whilst you're looking for it, I'll mention that another funding doubt is over the Whatawhatta roundabout. You might remember that we've discussed this from time to time, because the people in Whatawhatta reckon the junction between the two main roads is dangerous and they want a roundabout to replace it. Roundabouts costed it about $8 million. So.
$8 million to put a roundabout there?
Well, they said it would be cheaper to put in traffic lights, but they rejected that idea.
So this is a situation where the former mayor, Alan Sanson, decided he went to the media about this one to say it wasn't good enough that it was taking so long. And he was someone who wasn't, he was kind of loath to do that, usually, a conservative guy. Yeah. So I think certainly some people living in Whatawhata convinced him that it was a pretty dangerous scenario there.
So now, according to the report to yesterday's meeting, they say we are applying for consents and then construction funding, but there's no guarantee funding will be able to be made available as the Safety Improvements Fund is already under pressure due to cost escalations in various projects. So the usual story.
Well, that is, that has been a problem. The other question, too, is if we have a change of government. The last time that happened, we had roads of national significance and everything, all the money.
Safety funding disappeared, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, do we even know? Does the National Enact even have a policy about this? I suspect they might not.
Well, they've certainly not been publicising it, but as you say, last time we had a national government, they took money out of the road maintenance and money out of the safety funds and put it into building new roads. So, there's no evidence that they've changed their policy, as far as I can see. But I'm not an expert on national policy.
But is there any evidence they remember their policy either? We don't know. No, we're speculating that maybe that will happen. The roundabout will disappear if that's the case, for sure.
And there was also another report which came out.
Oh, wait, I know what's going to happen. That's going to become a 60 zone through Whatawhata eventually. That's Waka Kotahi's plan, State Highway 23. Most of it's going to be 80. I'm sure that'll be 60 through there. And then that would change the requirement for a...
they were talking about designing the roundabout for 60. I said it was still dangerous to cycle through a 60 roundabout because they're not proposing to put any cycle lanes around it.
And they were like, what is the cycling you speak of, Mr. Lawson?
They do say that they're trying to make their roads safer for people to cycle on, and then they come up with designs like this which do the opposite.
Yeah, well, the whole system is wired for cars, so...
It has been for over a century, which is my complaint about our transport system, that if you keep pouring money into one side of it, then you inevitably get a transport system which is weighted towards that side.
I suppose just throwing more into the mix, there's all the Cyclone Gabrielle repair work required. Have you seen what they're doing on the divvy now at... Jenny Hickton's farm, where they cut all the land out to make a bypass road for 2 months.
Now they're filling it all in again.
They're building up the land again. Like, I'd be really interested to know how much money was spent on that, so that we could get the divvy back 2 months early. Like, because you realize it's only for 2 months, and I'm thinking, wow, that's going to be millions and millions and millions spent just for 2 months of driving. But that's how important our roading network is to the functioning of our society now.
Well, except I didn't understand why they did that in the first place. It would surely have been far quicker and far cheaper to put a road limited to 10 kph in there, and you could have driven very slowly up the bank, along the top of the bank, down the bank, and still be a lot quicker than going all the way around via Wainaro.
Yeah, I don't know, John. We don't know.
cheaper.
There might have been good reasons for that. The land might not have been able to handle it because it just was an earth bank. So for 2 months. But also I was thinking, the answer to my question, how much did it cost, is maybe less than it would have cost to repair the Waingaro Road and the other roads in the district, which were getting an absolute hammering at the time. So, but yeah, it really does. That experience did ram home to me. Just, we spend a lot on our roads, but this country is now set up for roads. Like, everyone, people are happy to live out here and work in Hamilton because it's possible to travel in a reasonably short amount of time.
Yep.
And that's one thing. All our food goes back and forth on roads, so much transport, we're very much reliant on it.
Well, that's because we've closed down all the alternatives, because back a century ago they were expecting the railways to return a profit of over 3% whilst they were subsidising the roads. And we've carried on subsidising the roads ever since, and of course, the railways barely make a profit these days.
Well, what do you mean subsidised? Because the government, there's no private roads.
except we all pay $1,000 or more a year in rates to subsidise the roads.
Yeah.
And there's also quite a lot of other government funding goes into it. So in the proposals from both Labour and National, they're proposing that taxpayers contribute to the cost of new roads.
But is there anywhere where there aren't roads, John? Any countries not doing roads?
Well, there are
Bhutan, perhaps?
There are countries with more balanced transport policies.
Yeah.
Because, as I say, for a century or so, ours hasn't been balanced, whereas in places like Switzerland and Austria and various other places around, particularly in Europe, that they are actually spending, in some cases, more on public transport and railways than they are on roads.
Something going on in Hamilton at the moment, talking to someone from Hamilton yesterday about, I know there's talk of the 20-minute city concept in Hamilton, and Rifle Range Road, they're going to be creating a cycleway that will cut out parking on one side of the road. And this is at the same time as they're increasing the density of housing in Hamilton quite dramatically and taking away the requirement that there's off-street parking. So there's going to be more people wanting to park on the roads, but less parking on the roads.
Well, their aim is to get people to use public transport, which is why they're talking about moving to a 10-minute interval bus service. But they're
right.
struggling to run an hourly interval bus service at the moment.
Yeah, so because what I'm wondering is if there's going to be a very long teething period before they get to where they want to be.
Because buses and trains are very much more efficient, both in terms of land use and in terms of fuel use, which is why when we've got global warming as an issue, places all over the world are looking to increase the amount that they're spending on public transport.
I get the feeling the way they're going about it in Hamilton is going to create a lot of backlash.
Well, I think it creates backlash wherever it is. And I noticed there was a comment, I think it was coming from National, saying that if you got rid of the congestion lanes that they've created, then there'd be an outcry. But equally, there was an outcry when they put them in the first place.
Well, there's always that. Yeah, but the way it's happening in Hamilton at the moment, it just feels like they haven't got the resources. Like if the bus system was ready to go before they started changing the roads and putting more cycle lanes in, there wouldn't be as much outcry as I think there's going to be.
Yeah, well, that's always the problem that they have been very slow in developing any of the public transport, and that this country was quite late in recognising that public transport couldn't be expected to be a profitable private enterprise. And in some cases, like the intercity buses and the transscenic trains, then they're still profit-making, despite the evidence elsewhere that the social benefits and environmental benefits from subsidising them are much greater than the subsidies that go into them.
Yeah, well, people think we can't afford things, but there was a time when New Zealand didn't have many roads and there were these work schemes to build roads everywhere. When was that? It was like the 20s or 30s
in
this country?
Yeah, well, that was part of the funding from the government during the 20s when they did change from investing in railways to investing in roads. Yeah.
But the fact that they could embark on a massive project like that and pay for it, and apparently it didn't hobble us with a lot of debt, well, at least there's no signs of it now. I mean, it shows what government can do if they want to get busy and actually make something happen.
Well, we're still paying for the debt that we incurred, first of all, with the First World War. So that debt is being paid for, and it's gradually increased over the decades.
Maybe, but our government debt is a lot lower than a lot of other countries. And this is the thing that no one... It's election season, and the right wing is always saying, oh, the government's like... I'm sorry, I'm doing that sarcastic voice. They're always telling us about how much debt the horrible economic managers of Labour have got us into, but in actual fact, they haven't. We're very low on debt. In fact, probably unnecessarily low.
Yeah,
we could easily handle a lot more and get some things done.
I find it interesting that the report to the Future Proof said that they were looking to the community boards to.
Back to council.
Leverage community inputs into the vehicle kilometre travelled reduction programme.
What does that mean? Can you translate that for me?
Well, that's the amount of traffic, basically. So reducing traffic, apparently the district council is saying it's the responsibility of the community boards to go out and talk to the community. So
about reducing traffic where?
well, throughout the district, because in the Waikato district is part of this future-proof project to try and reduce the amount of traffic, because they're accepting that we need to. Well, it's part of the zero carbon act that we've trying to reduce traffic by 30% by 2030. Wow. And up till now, we've only been increasing it. So it's a big turnaround to try and do that. And a large part of the last agenda for the regional council was looking at how they might set the measurements up for that, but they're still not even measuring it at the moment.
I'm just a little bit speechless. Like, that's they've asked the most powerless political entities in the area to do an incredibly difficult job while the population's increasing, because they've also said their population's set to increase.
I only know what's written down in the agenda, and it says Waikato District have community boards, community committees at the main towns and villages that can be used to leverage community inputs into the VKT traffic reduction program. So,
Leverage community inputs. What does that mean? Oh my God!
It's a way of saying that we haven't a clue what to do, but we'll push it onto the community boards.
I have a university degree, and I sometimes don't understand what this stuff means. Leverage. What's community inputs? That's community inputs into the community or from the community? That's what's missing in that.
That's the outcry that you were talking about in Hamilton when they tried to get rid of parking. And so far, the community board's discussed making Bow Street a pedestrian-friendly area ever since I've been living in Raglan, and still not much has happened about it.
One or two people get very upset. I think it contradicts their values system, because it's quite a deep feeling inside them, you know, and they really get busy campaigning against it. Yep. And the last one was, that's area outside Auckland. Only a trial, to see if it could be used successfully as a park type of area. And apparently some of the businesses there were over the moon. They're like, well, we produce food, and you're giving us more seats where we produce food. We'll be able to sell more food. We're very happy about that. But, some other people. And, anyway, I don't want to get
into that. And the other good news
in
there is that the bus patronage is going up again, so... and the bus is more on time as well. So
maybe those two things go together, John. Reliable bus service means more people use it.
Could be.
Yeah. I think we've gotten onto something here. All right. So, John, thank you for coming in. We're going to be moving on to another topic shortly. You're on the air tonight.
Yep.
Are the Raglan Ramblers still sticking to their schedule that you gave us a while ago?
Are this time going up to the wind farm, which should be clear and bright tomorrow.
And windy.
Probably, yes.
I'd expect it to be windy at a wind farm.
Well, that's why they set it up there.
Yeah.
They did put an anemometer up there for about 5 years before they decided to build the wind farm, just to check it was going to be a good place.
Anemometer.
Anemometer, yes.
Anemometer.
I think what measures wind speed.
Oh, I guess that was pretty obvious. All right, John, thanks for coming in.
Okay, thank you.
All right, folks, yes, John's off, and Sean and Sarah are going to be in just a tick after this break.